The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I mean, number one, let me say this. I'm a member of Resurrection Life Church, and we had started out when I went there, my wife and family, probably had about 70 members. And, you know, me and we've been there probably about 12 or 13 years, and now we're probably up to around 1,500. And I never just want to share with you what the Lord has, what the Lord has showed me this week has totally changed my whole life. And I mean, I've been serving the Lord a long time, and the Lord has showed me some pretty unbelievable things as far as revelation goes and knowledge of understanding His Word. Studying from a Jewish perspective, you know, going back to my root system, you know, where it all began, Jesus being a Jew and all the disciples were Jews and God's law coming through the Jewish people, has been like my goal to impart into people. But I found out this past week it's all knowledge. And I found out that I've not been in sync with my pastor for 12 years. And the Lord corrected me this week. He didn't correct me, but He showed me something that I've never ever seen before. And I tell you this, I love Alan Hickman because he showed me something. And you can only grow through love. Amen. And no matter how much knowledge I pour into you, and I can show you some things that it absolutely, that if you've been serving the Lord 50 years, I can show you some things you've never saw before, but it means nothing. If, like Paul said, that's why he counted all loss for the sake of the gospel. I was at work this past week. I'm a superintendent by trade. I'm just like you guys, no different. You know, suit and ties and all of these kind of things are for business people. This is not a business. We are the house of God. And I love this place. Just the atmosphere, just the presence of God here. But we're in a season of change, and we have to change, because if not, we're going to stay where we're at, and we're going to miss it. I was at work this week, and I don't say this out of no disrespect, none. But God always uses, there's no difference than people. Hear my heart. Red, yellow, black, and white, we're all precious in His sight. But I don't know what it is, man. God uses black people for me. I don't know why. Men, they just come up to me with sometimes the most profound words. Speak. I don't fully understand it all. But anyway, I'm at work this week. And I guess I really kind of do. And I'll maybe tell you later. But anyway. This guy, I'm at work. I'm sitting. I'm at the VA hospital. And I'm going to tell you, show you what the Lord. I'm going to walk you kind of into what the Lord had showed me. I'm at the VA hospital. I'm rebuilding in New Orleans. And my ministry is my men that are there. You know, I seek to pour into these guys and stuff like that any chance I can get. And so I'm outside and I'm sitting on a step. I got my hard hat on and stuff like that. And I'm sitting on a step and this black man, he's standing like this outside the VA hospital and I'm sitting down. And he keeps looking at me. And I'm always looking for an opportunity to minister. I don't care what it is. And so he makes conversation with me. He says, so you're into construction? I'm like, yeah, you know. He says, you must be like a boss or something. He's sitting down outside, everybody else is inside working. I said, yeah, I'm the superintendent, you know. He said, you know what? He said, I was in construction for a long time. I said, really? But he didn't want to talk about that. He just was striking up conversation to me. And he said, you know what, man? Beside all of that stuff, it's all about Jesus. As soon as he said that, my phone rang. I grabbed my phone. I said, hey, man, let me call you right back. Turned it off, put it on the side, and I looked up at Adam, and I said, you know what? I said, man, you're right. And he said, can I tell you something about the Garden of Eden? Now, if anybody knows me, you know, if you've heard anything I've ever ministered, I mean, I talk about, you know, that, I mean, he had my full undivided attention right there. And I'm like, I'm looking at him, and I'm like, absolutely. You could tell me anything you want about the garden, because I'm already ready to hit him with what I know. Give him a little burst of what I have, you know. Well, just share. He says, you know the problem with Adam and Eve? He said, the problem is they could see. So I'm sitting down on a step, and I'm looking at him, you know, like this, you know, and I'm looking up at him. And when he said that, they could see. It don't take much to get my wheels turning, because I put a whole lot of scripture in me. It's like my computer has a lot it can run through, and it starts like looking for, like you look if you want to look up a word in a, you know, in a computer, boom, punch it in, and it'll start scanning, and it'll start showing things. Well, blind, I mean, my brain is, and he's, man, and all of us, he had my full undivided attention, though my mind's working. And he said, yeah, he said, you remember, he said, if you think about it, Adam and Eve, they were blind while they were in the garden. And then all of a sudden, this man starts rambling. Now, he ain't even, he's talking to me, and he's got, if you could picture this, he's got one eye that's cross-eyed. So when he's looking at me, I don't even know if he's looking at me. But, I mean, it was kind of hard. I mean, he'd look at me, get that eye off of that, you know, that I'm looking at his eye. But then he's, like, looking away, and he starts rambling, just starts talking. And he says, yeah, that's the problem. He said, before they was in the garden walking around, he says, remember, he said, when they was in the garden, he says, it wasn't until they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that their eyes was open. Therefore, they were blind while they was walking around in the garden. And then he says, if you think about this, you could take a blind man by the hand and lead him wherever it is you want him to go. He'll follow you because he's blind to the tree of what's right and wrong. But if you take someone who can see, or who thinks they could see, you can't lead them no place, because right away they're going to be like, no, I think we ought to go this way. Well, no, I think we ought to do it this way, or go this way. My brain is just running. He said, listen to me. I said, what is your name? He said, and he put his hand out. He said, my name's Mr. Freddie Booker. He said, Freddie. I said, Freddie what? He said, Freddie Booker. I said, man, you have blessed me. He said, brother. He said, I want to tell you something. I said, hold on one second. I said, are you a preacher? He said, no, I ain't no preacher. He said, I just want to share with you with what God has showed me. This man had more understanding of what the Word of God actually said than I did in all of the knowledge that I have in God's Word. Because he understood a concept. And when he told me this, he said, let me give you an example. I'm not preaching my sermon. I'm preaching Mr. Freddie Booker's sermon, what he gave to me. But I'm preaching God's sermon that God gave to Mr. Freddie Booker. And I don't want no credit for it. This has been something that God has showed me has totally changed my whole perspective and my zeal in all that I'm trying to accomplish and do now in the Lord. He said things like this to me. We didn't talk but about 15 minutes. And I'm just going to go on a little further in some things he had told me, but things that ignited me and took off in me. He said things like, he said, remember the Pharisees and Sadducees? These guys, Jesus told them this. He said, if you were blind, now listen to me. Adam and Eve, when they was in the garden, there was two trees in the garden. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve, her name wasn't really Eve until the fall, until after the fall. Her real name was Adam. In the day that God created them, he called their name Adam. But you know what? What I want you to do is I want you to empty yourself today. Because right now, the words that I'm telling you, you're already processing through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil on what you know. I did it. When Mr. Victor Booker started telling me about what he was sharing, I was processing. Well, you know what? You're automatically going to process. But I just want you to open yourself up today and listen what it is, because I'm telling you, if you grab this, your life will never be the same again, ever. Ever. Eve in the garden was totally oblivious and blinded to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She couldn't see it. Say, this is the tree. Totally blinded. Because it wasn't until she ate off of this tree that her eyes were opened. All Adam and Eve ate off of was the tree of life. But immediately, now watch this, when Satan tempted Eve with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when she partook of the fruit, she became, now she's blinded to the tree of life in love. Because all she has now is knowledge and wisdom, and she's saying, I don't need you, Lord, anymore to lead me. This tree right here is what you and I are born into eating off of. We process our children through it. We're raised in it. We're a society of we have to have knowledge. And you got to go to school, you got to go to high school, you got to be a graduate, you got to have a degree, you got to be processed. This is what we feed off of right here, okay? But God is trying to get us off of this tree and bring us back to the original state that we was in the beginning and start eating off of the tree of life. Because when you're eating off of this, you're blinded to that. What am I talking about? The only thing that we could see is with our physical eyes. We see what's right and what's wrong. That's all we see. What's good and what's evil. You can look at a brother or a sister and say, brother, you're drinking, you're going to hell. Sister, you need to stop fooling around. You need to stop doing this or stop. Because immediately, you know what the Word of God says. I'm going to mess with y'all today. Listen to me. And you process people through what you know. Now watch this. If I could say it like this. The two trees that are in the garden is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the Old Testament. Well, how do you say that? Because of the law. The law says what's right and what's wrong. And that's where you obtain power, or people absorb their power from. Okay? That's why Satan was in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan derives his power from God's word, the old covenant, which is the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life, totally different. This is Jesus, the new covenant. Here, you and me have no rights. Well, Alan is teaching love, 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 love. Just got to love and you got to do this and you got to do that. And me, being a student of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, says, hold on a second. Alan, wait, hold on, hold on. It's, you know, the tree of the knowledge, the tree, God's word says this. But you know what? If you can get your eyes off of that and be blind to it, I'm explaining myself, you will start now trusting that God is leading you by the man that he's put in front of you. Whether the man is right or he's wrong, it doesn't matter. Now, I'm not talking in grave danger of someone saying, Jesus is not the Son of God. I'm talking about, you're not going to find a church or a place that's absolutely perfect. But God wants you to bloom where he's planted you and trust and believe in blind faith that he's going to lead you and take you where it is that you need to go. Watch this. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil divides. The tree of life brings together. I don't care how you look at it. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil on this side is Pentecostal, non-denominational, full gospel, Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, and all of these others are making a stand on one truth. And they have divided themselves through the knowledge of what they know instead of losing all of that for the sake of love, where love gathers everybody into one house, which is the bride of Christ. Watch this. He told the Pharisees and Sadducees, Israel, I'm going to give you this. If you want to know what the two trees were in the garden, and I ain't got time to go into Scripture, but I could tell you what they are. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, over and over in the Word, beyond the shadow of a doubt, is a fig tree. Israel is likened unto the fig tree. God curses the fig tree. I can take you old. Adam and Eve, when they ate off of the fig tree, watch. When they ate from that tree, they sowed the leaves from that tree. They worked to make coverings to cover up their sin. Watch this. While eating off of this tree, you will never look at a brother or a sister and process them through the knowledge of good and evil. Never. You'll love them no matter what. If you eat off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're definitely going to process them. Watch this. Adam and Eve's in the garden. Come up here, baby. This is my beautiful wife. The power behind the throne. She's got some power source behind her. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. Her and I is Adams in the garden. We'll be politically correct. We're the two Adams. Immediately, stand right here. Immediately, well, you gave me the fruit.
Oh,
Go ahead and pick the fruit. Take a bite. And the Bible says that Adam was with her. He wasn't over there around the corner or anything. He was right there with her. So when he takes the fruit, after he sees it's pleasant to the eye, and he bites into it and he eats it, this is amazing, because when they're in the garden and they're eating off of the tree of life, all they see is God in everything is beautiful. They don't see nothing else. But immediately, when you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their eyes went from here to here. Oh, baby, you look like you've been putting on a little pounds there. Hold on, I'm going to drag over you by the tree of life. Watch this. But baby, I don't care how much tree you eat off of, I'm going to love you no matter what.
That's a wise man.
But what happened was, immediately their eyes became come off of God, and they was processed through the tree of what they knew and what they didn't know. Remember, he tells the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were full of the knowledge, which is the word of God, the law. And he says, I want to give you the right scripture. It says, bear with me for a minute. It says in John 9:41. Can you put that up for me? John 9:41. He said, and Jesus said unto them, if you were blind. Now watch this. This is totally going to change your whole perspective on seeing things. If you were blind, you should have no sin. If you're eating off of this tree, you're blinded. But he says, you should have no sin. But now you say we see. Because you say you see, your sin remains. These scriptures began, watch this. The blind man that Jesus heals. The blind man was in the synagogues, in the temple, surrounded by the law of God, of what was right and what was wrong, and it couldn't heal him and restore his sight to see what it is that God wanted him to see. But Jesus, the tree of life, walks up to him. We are so focused on physical and what we see, when God is a spiritual God doing an inner work inside of you. We, Ephesians 1:18, put that up, brother. Watch this. This is exactly what you do. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Watch this. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of his glory of the inheritance of his saints. Watch this. That the eyes of your understanding would be open. That's why the Lord says, when you get knowledge, get understanding. Because the understanding of that is going to lead you to the tree of life.
Amen. All right.
That's why he told them. He told the Pharisees and Sadducees, when you think you have life, search the scriptures and see. Search the tree, the law of the knowledge of good and evil, and see if that tree doesn't point to me. If you grab this, it'll totally, it means this. You can't judge no more. You can't look at a brother and say, you know what? You fat. You need to lose weight. You need to stop smoking. You need to stop drinking. You may need to start living a little bit more holy. Now watch this. You a tree. You are a tree. What tree are you? Are you the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Because every time you go up to somebody and tell them about a sister or a brother or a pastor or a friend or anybody, you're feeding. You are the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Satan is in you. You hear what I'm saying? He's all wrapped around you because this is where he derives his power. And you're saying, hey, sister, man, let me. Now, when you say let me, you are transferring fruit for her to eat. Now, if she's going to eat it or not, it's all up to her. If she says this, hold on a second. Don't tell me nothing about my pastor. Let me tell you this real quick. I haven't talked to anybody in this church. These messages are not preordained, pre-planned, talk to anybody. This is what the Lord is doing in me. If this is for you, great. If it's not, you better get it. I was about to say kick it to the curb, but no. No, indeed. So immediately when you go to talk to someone, if you're not edifying, encouraging, even though you don't understand the circumstance of whatever it is that's going on, just always refer back to the tree of life. Get off of, we process, and watch this. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We know it in Ephesians 6. It brings life one way and death the other. Which side of the sword are you using? It's a two-edged sword. It can either bring life to its hearer or it can bring death. Which way are you swinging it? If you remember Indiana Jones, kind of just remember in Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail, man will always choose by what he sees. Remember, you go through the maze, you do all of this kind of crazy stuff, you walk the leap of faith, boom. Well, it ain't really like that. But anyway, and when they get there, they inside the thing by the Holy Grail, which is not biblical, the cup of Christ. But the first guy who's just wanting power and knowledge and all of these, he runs, and looking at all of the grails or the cups that is there, he says, this cup is one fit for a king. And he picks up a golden chalice because he's processing it through his knowledge of what a king would drink out of. The same thing that the Pharisees and Sadducees did. But when he drank out of it, the man who was there with the sword said, you have chosen poorly. And he died. But one who knows Christ went and chose the carpenter's cup, the one that was not goodly to look upon. God doesn't see like you and I see. He don't look upon man like you and I look upon man. God looks at the heart of man and what's on side. And I can't tell you what's in this brother or what's in that sister, but something is there. That's why he's here. Life, truth. And when you get a hold of that, listen to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, put that up. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament? Not the letter, which is the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. This tree will kill you dead every single time. And not only you, but everybody else around you. How you process your family. How you look at your kids. Well, I wanted my kid to be a baseball player. I want my kid to do this. I wanted my kid. Why are you dressing like that? Why do you look like that? Why do you wear your makeup like that? You're processing them wrong. You missed it. Listen to me. There is no life. You're giving them no fruit from the tree of life to do anything to that person except push them away. That's what the church has been doing. Everybody that walks in, oh yeah, brother, we want you here, but you need to quit smoking. Come on now. Huh. What you said? You need to give a little bit more. Huh. What? That stuff you see these preachers are preaching today are sickening. It's sickening. People don't want to hear that. They want life.
Amen.
It's the same thing the Pharisees and Sadducees was doing, and Jesus came and confronted them, and they were so blind in the tree of life that was once there in the very beginning was standing right there in front of their face. I'm going to give you a better example. If you can bear it. It's amazing how God says in 2 Corinthians 15, it says He gives us the natural things to understand the things of the Spirit. So these natural things that we're got going on, isn't it amazing how women are more loving than men? The men in the house is the law. Boy, when your daddy gets home, I'm going to tell your daddy on you, he's going to bust your behind, law. But the mama side, she's all love. Oh, my baby, I'm going to... It's the tree. Watch this. It's the process. Listen to me. This tree is not bad. We need knowledge and understanding and wisdom. We need this. God has given it to us. Especially, we didn't need it when Adam and Eve was in the garden or the Adams were in the garden in the very beginning. We didn't need it. All we needed to do was eat off of the tree of life. But now God has given us His law to show us we need to get back to eating off of the tree of life. Because you're birthed into this. Now watch this. Every new revelation that you receive requires a new dedication. Every time God shows you something new, you're responsible for it now. Each and every one of you in this room today is responsible to stop processing people through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and begin to process them like God sees them through His eyes, through life and through love. Watch this. There was two trees in the garden, if I could say it like this. I could show you through Scripture. Remember when God laid Adam down to sleep, and He pulled Eve out of His side. Remember? There was two now, but yet they were one. God is the law, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He knows. He says it. And if I could say it like this, He had to separate Himself so we could be in His presence. So He pulled Christ out of His side, His grace and His mercy, and He separated Himself. Do you understand that? Because now we can come into the presence of God, but it's in the presence of His grace and His mercy, because we're in this flesh. If this flesh comes before a holy God, His holiness demands justice. You, in the flesh, according to the law, I'm a holy God. You are a sinful man. The law kills. So God says, I'm going to separate myself, my grace and mercy. Pull it out of His side, because that's where Jesus sits. His grace and His mercy is on His right side. But yet, they come together as one, and we'll see Him like that in the end. But right now, we have Jesus. Man. Look at this. Oh, remember? Here's another scripture for you. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And I'm not going to keep you long today, but Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul knew the law of the Lord. By the age of 12, he could quote the Torah verbatimly. He knew the Torah and the Tanakh. He knew what it said. In fact, he was so zealous for the law, the Bible says in the end times, that people will kill you thinking they're doing God a favor because they're in the wrong tree. Paul was in this tree, Shaul. He was eating off of this tree and his zeal was killing people because he was processing him through this. But God, when he's on the road of Damascus, knocks him down, blinds him to this, and he sees the tree of life and he says, Shaul, Shaul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Yeshua, Jesus, the one you are persecuting. In all of his knowledge, like he says in 2 Corinthians, though I understand all mysteries, and 1 Corinthians 13, and have all revelation and all knowledge and all understanding of what the law says, if I have not the tree of life, which is love, I have nothing. I lose all for the sake of this tree right here. Watch this. Paul is physically blinded because God is trying to show him. Remember? It says, Ananias, go to Paul, Shaul. I want you to lay hands on him. And the scales of the law fell from his eyes. And the only thing that Paul could see in all of his testimonies to the kings that he stood before was, I was blind and now I can see. I was on the road of Damascus and I seen Jesus and it totally changed his whole life. I could pump you full of knowledge. More knowledge ain't going to do anything for you. It's not going to change you. It's a very important part. Have Jesus and get knowledge and understanding. You got both of them together as one. God the Father and His Son. Satan's power. He came to Eve and he said, hath God said? He's in the tree. What tree is he in? He ain't in the tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden was a fig tree. The tree of life was an olive tree. Wasn't good to look upon. Study the olive. The anointed one. You'll find out that the tree of life was an olive tree. It's not really good to look upon, but people want to see beauty. Satan is beautiful. Still is today. Physically. He didn't get in this tree. He went into the beautiful tree. And this is where his power and his authority and everything that he's got is derived from right here. That's the only power he's got. If you try to process people through this tree, you're enhancing his power. You're strengthening him. And you know what? If you take a truth to an extreme, he's going to be right there and he's going to say, hey, hey, you know what? That's right. You're right. Because there's truth in that tree. You right. You need to stand on that right there. Don't break your ground. Stand. Man, you are right. And that's what we do. We make a stand. No, you wrong. And God's saying, you know what? Get off of it. And move over here and let God sort them out. He's going to change everything.
Amen.
Watch this. So Paul, he's on the road to Damascus. He's blinded to the law now, but then God opens his eyes and now he sees the tree of life. In Ephesians 1:18, it says, Paul prayed that the eyes of their hearts would be opened. It says, let's see. I talked about the knowledge of the good and evil, the old covenant and new covenant. Talk about how we're passing people through the trees. It says, let me see. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6 and 7, look at this. 1 Samuel 16, it says, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, Samuel, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man sees. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. How many really of us are processing like that? I tell you what, for as long as I've been, I haven't been processing like that. I've been in the zeal within myself to learn all I can about this, so I can get up here where I'm at right now and give you more knowledge. I want to tell them something, Lord, they haven't heard of before. That's what I want. I want to, and you know what? You come here every week looking for something new to eat. Every time we go to feed. We want something new. Man, what is it today? Man, what is it God's going to, you know what? This tree right here is it. Oh, let's see. I got to remember how Jesus looked at people. Oh, man. Wow. I'm glad I took notes. Jeez and Pete. Probably one of the most important things. Jesus. Remember they try and trap him. How much time we got, brother? Wow. Yes, ma'am.
Why, if it was a fig, why did they do it as an apple?
Well, there's only one time in the Bible that the apple is mentioned, that you are the apple of his eye in Psalms. It's just something that's been passed down through Sunday school, and you've learned a lot of things through church, and you know. But now God is opening our eyes to new revelation. More knowledge is coming forth, more understanding. We're in a time of actually... Man, you kind of take me off a little bit, but right now, September 30th is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh means chief or the head of the new year. We're actually right now entering into a new year, 5769. We've just come through the year 5768, which is the year of new beginnings. So now God is transitioning us, as of September 30th, transitioning us into the new year. Okay? And I don't want to, maybe I'll come back and teach on that a little bit. But anyway, the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman? Jesus comes to the woman at the well and he asks her for a drink of water. Jesus knew all about this woman. But he's asking her. Don't miss this. He's asking her to do something for him. This woman, he asks for a cool drink of water. And she says, "Why are you even talking to me, seeing that I'm a Samaritan woman?" And he says, he tells her, "Go and get your husband and bring him back." And she says, "For I have no husband." And he said, "In saying that, you said right. You've had seven, and the one you're with now is not your husband." Watch this. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let me back you up just so you kind of have a little understanding of what's going on. Jesus goes to the well in the noontime. It's 12 o'clock straight up. He goes to the well. There's a woman at the well. There is not supposed to be no women at the well at 12 o'clock. Did you know that? Women went to the well in the morning, early in the morning, and late in the evening they went to fetch water. The reason being, this woman was at the well at 12 o'clock is because she was, if you want to say, full of sin, a harlot, had seven wives, and all of the women, if she went there in the husbands, thank you. They had some of them back then too, you know that, huh? She could have had a few of them. But if she would have went in the morning or in the evening, the women at the well would have processed her through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What are you doing here, harlot? Whore? Go back. Get away from us, you sinful person. But Jesus, the tree of life, doesn't say one thing about her sin. He didn't condemn her. Because of all the things, that was me, I was a whore. And many other people. And he didn't condemn me. He loved me. Watch this. Here, Pharisees and Sadducees. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil comes to Jesus, the tree of life. And says, hey Jesus, we've caught this woman in adultery. In the very act, we caught her, walked in, bam. The law says we're to kill her. What do you say? He didn't even touch it. He says something they just don't even know how to handle. He messes with the man, freaks him. I mean, they really don't. You who are without sin. Let him cast the first stone. He took their minds. Watch. He took their minds off of her. They were processing her through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he caused them to process their own self through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they like, woe is me. Yeah. Boom. And they dropped the rocks. Because you see, he dealt with them on the level of where they were at. That's the only thing they knew. They process other people by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They process themselves through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How holy they are. What kind of duds I'm wearing today. What I look like. His jacket's kind of wrinkled a little bit. Think we can trust this, word he's bringing forth here? That's what Jesus did. Things like that. You can read through the scriptures and see the blind man. He heals the blind man who, like I said, who has all this knowledge around him and it can't set him free. But yet, one visit with Jesus, like the man he healed the other blind man. Where is he? Where is he? And the disciple said, hey, let me take you to him. And it's amazing because the law, it's all beautiful. Satan's all in it. But the knowledge, but love, Christ was unpleasant to look upon. That's why it says in his words, he gives higher honor to our uncomely parts. Excuse me. Take your shoes off, man. Let me see what those feet look like. I'm kidding. That guy was taking his shoes off. He must like his feet. But you see, we don't process the same way God does. He's old. Got a big bump on his face. You seen that guy? Saw him. Oh, God. He's ugly. Man, you missing it. The whole thing is this whole deal this week that God has been trying to show me is, man, I've been processing people wrong. And you know what? That's right. My wife even said it. Even when Jesus, we're a tree. And when Jesus laid hands on the blind man, remember, he laid hands on him and he says, what do you see? He says, I see men as trees walking. That's why Jesus, there's many scriptures I can go into you with it, but I want you to grab the point. He sees men as trees walking. We're feeding people something every day. Listen to me. Your knowledge of what you know and the stands that you take is not going to get you to heaven. Your love is. You hear me what I'm telling you? I got a lot of knowledge in me The same thing, not like Paul or none of them, but by no means, not even a jot or a tittle. But one day, remember this, when the Lord comes back, right now he came as the lamb to suffer. This man in Isaiah, who was not goodly to look upon, nothing would cause you to follow Jesus. He was ugly. And he done it for a reason. He wants you strictly to see him with the eyes of your spirit, not with the eyes of your flesh. Look at the heart, brother. Man, I don't know why I keep falling to that sin. I want to quit drinking so bad. But man, come the weekend, I'm drinking me a beer. Boom. Well, you know what? Eventually, God is going to do something in that person. Whatever it is, whether it's I got a bad problem, just talking about people, just gossiping, why don't I want to keep my mouth shut? Two ears, listen more. One mouth, talk less. Listen more, talk less. Talk less, listen more. And that's my prayer, that your eyes and your spirit would be open and that you would hear with your heart what it is that God's going to do. Listen, judgment is coming, but it's not for you to judge. Judge not, lest you be judged. I know the scriptures. The Lord wants us to, you know, we judge according to, and this is a good scripture. The fruit. What fruit are they producing? Man, you seen how ugly that dude was? This is somebody in church now. Can you believe he wants to go down there and set something up, you know, and do a mission, you know, like over there? We need more of tongues in a church. We need more of, you know, we need some more of revelation in a church. We need more. Hey, stop it. Just love and believe the one that God has placed you around is going to lead you. God is leading him. Listen, I'm not the pastor here. You're not the pastor here. I'm the boss at work. If one of the workers came up to me and said, "You're running this whole show wrong, partner," I'm going to be like, first, I'm going to hear him out, because that's just how I am. But I'm going to be like, look, man, if you want to be a superintendent or whatever it is that you need to be, go through the process. And if you get elevated to that position, well, then people will be subject unto you. Then you better be leading them in love, because love covers a multitude of sins. Whether, you know what? Even in the knowledge of good and evil, you could lead wrong. You will lead wrong. You could still lead wrong in love. But if you're doing it in love, God will fix it. Guarantee it, he's going to fix it. If you make, it doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. He is going to fix it as long as you're eating off of this tree and giving out love. Anyway, where was I going? Let me see if I got any more notes. You know what? This is the first time you can ask my wife. In all the years that I've been ministering, in all the years. You caught that, huh? Been doing a lot of ministering out and about, but in a church deal, all 3 years, that I've ever made notes. And really, because when it's in you, you don't even need no notes. Just like the tabernacle and Noah's Ark and restoring the hearing. And I ain't gave y'all some of the best ones yet with the mystery of the 12 stones. That'll absolutely floor you. I'm going to give it to you. But listen to me. I do not want you to miss this. The message today, the message today that God is trying to reveal to you is begin to eat off the tree of life. Okay? Listen to this. Real fast. How much time I got? 25 minutes. Lord, give you a little knowledge. Give you some understanding with that knowledge. This is absolutely, knowledge about the tree of life is absolutely going to blow you out the water. Lord showed me this, I was like, wow, son, yeah. Just hold on a little bit, I'm gonna give it. Anyway, I was in a study. Lord, I got no time. I was in a study, and I was studying about, I was coming through, and I studied all about the tabernacle and how Moses left. So I'm fulfilling what was said in a thing that Pastor Morris said about talking about the tabernacle of Moses. But anyway, I was studying, and when I was coming through, I noticed that there was a scripture in Exodus that says that God said that Moses, for you shall be as a God unto the people. Remember, he told them that. For I'm going to speak to you direct, and you're going to give it to them. And Joshua was Moses' right hand. Now, I'm not talking about Aaron. Aaron was his brother who was the high priest. But Moses, if you read the story, Moses imparts into Joshua. Okay? So here we go. They leave Egypt. I'm trying to give you this. They leave Egypt. They go through the Red Sea. They come up on the other side of the Red Sea. They go to Mount Sinai, which is the law, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is where they receive the law. See how it goes together? They stay there for 11 months. Okay? So Moses, all the children of Israel, is about 2 million people, 600,000 men, not counting women and children. They all leave Pharaoh. They cross the Red Sea. They go and they come to Mount Sinai. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai, and give you the crash version. Moses comes down. They receive the law. They're there for 11 months. They travel through the wilderness for 39 more years, and they come to the Jordan River. They're about to cross over to the other side. And you can read this in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 through chapter 6. It says that when they get here at the Jordan, it says, God tells Moses, Moses, you're not going over because you struck the rock when I told you to speak to it. So he says, but what I want you to do is I want you to impart your spirit into Joshua right here at the Jordan. Okay? So while he's at the Jordan, the Bible says before he goes up on Mount Nebo and dies, the Bible says Moses, you know, imparts his spirit on. Now let's say this. This is the river, okay? They wandered all through the wilderness and all of this kind of stuff, and they came to the Jordan River. On this side of the river over here is the land that flows with milk and honey, Canaan land, okay? So Moses and Joshua's on this side. Moses, his name means to be drawn out, but the Bible says, for you shall be as a God unto the people. Man, this is good stuff. He says, but I want you to impart Joshua into Joshua because Joshua is going to lead my children across the Jordan. So right here on this side of the Jordan, Moses imparts his spirit into Joshua. Moses goes up on Mount Nebo and he dies. God commands Joshua. He says, listen, I want you to take all of the people and I want you to circumcise them, okay? Sanctify yourselves and all of this kind of stuff. They did none of this in the wilderness. And he said, I want you to step in with the Ark of the Covenant first. Let the Ark lead. So the priests step into the Jordan River. Jordan means descender. Names and numbers are very important in the word. Anyway, the Sea of Galilee means life. The Jordan River descended into the Dead Sea. Life, Jesus, descended and is going to give life to the Dead Sea in the end. That's a serious stuff, Zechariah. That's more. So when they stepped into Jordan, the Bible says the Jordan backed up, just like when Moses and the children of Israel stepped into the Red Sea. When they went in, he parted the sea. They was all baptized into Moses in the sea. So repeat, Joshua steps into Jordan, and the Jordan River backs up all the way to the city of Adam. Okay? Then all the children cross over. God tells Joshua. He says, Joshua, I want you to take 12 stones. And take 12 stones and bring them into Gilgal where the children are going to encamp. For that's going to be an altar or a monument. But also, I want you to put 12 stones underneath the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing. So I'm like, I read this. I'm like, why is there an altar of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan? And you got a picture of
Moses, who shall be as a God unto the people, and Joshua, his right hand, whose name means Yeshua, which means Jesus. You got a picture of God the Father and Joshua, his son, or his right-hand man, a picture of God the Father and his son, God the Father and Jesus, at the Jordan River on this side. So, gets into a story. I'm getting all that. So I'm reading, and I read 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah and Elisha. Now watch this. If you cross over the Jordan, the first place Joshua was supposed to go was Gilgal. Then from Gilgal, he was to go to Jericho. Remember, he walked around Jericho when the walls come down. And then he went on his way, Bethel, and they went and conquered the land. 2 Kings chapter 2 says, picks up with Elijah and Elisha. Elijah's name, don't miss this, Elijah's name means Yahweh is God. Elisha's name means Hoshea, which means Yeshua, which means Jesus. His name means Yahweh is salvation. So here at Gilgal, when Joshua crossed over with the children of Israel, they went to Gilgal. If you look in 2 Kings chapter 2, the story picks up in 2 Kings chapter 2. It says that, wow, this is like floored me. It says, and it came to pass that the Lord would take Elijah up into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Watch this now. He went, Elijah and Elisha, the name means God the Father and God the Son, went from Gilgal. From Gilgal, they went to Beth-El, which means house of God. From Beth-El, they went to Jericho, which means city of palms. Now watch. They're in the same area, remember? Moses and Joshua was on this side of the river. They crossed over. They went to Gilgal. This is where they crossed the Jordan. Elijah and Elisha goes from Gilgal to Beth-El to Jericho, the same place that Joshua was. And then he says, from there, they went straight to the Jordan. Now, they're right there where they built the altar. Exact same place. Elijah, whose name means God, Elisha, whose name means Jesus, they take off the turban, slap the water, and the water parts again. It doesn't say that the altar was there, but I know it was, because they're in the exact same place. They cross over the Jordan. Now, Elijah and Elisha is on the exact same side that Moses and Joshua was at. And Joshua and Elijah looks at Elisha. And he says, what is it that you want from me? And he says, I want a double portion of what it is you have. Most people think that's double of miracles, although he did, but that isn't it. Only the firstborn son in Jerusalem, in Israel, the children of Israel, received a double portion. He wasn't asking for a double portion of what he had. He was asking for the rights of a firstborn son. Elijah tells Elisha, if you see me caught up, you shall get what it is you have. As they proceeded to go on, the whirlwind, the horse and the chariot comes down, scoops up Elijah. Elijah drops the mantle, which is the spirit, the power. The same place that Moses imparts into Joshua the Spirit in His power is the exact same place, exactly, that Elijah imparts His power into His son, firstborn, Elisha. I'm like, Lord, I know. What about the stones in the middle of the Jordan? And I'm like, Lord, where did Jesus? Now watch this. Joshua and Elisha, both their names mean Jesus. Moses and Elijah, both are symbolic to God. 1,500 years before Jesus comes. 1,500 years before Jesus comes. God puts an altar in the middle of the Jordan. I open my Bible. I go to Matthew. Matayahu. looking for where was John baptizing. He was baptizing in the Jordan. I know that. But where? I go to Matthew. I go to Mark. I go to Luke. When I went to John, John 1 verse 28. And John the Baptist was baptizing. Pull it up. John 1 28. Man, I'm fixing to get excited, son. Oh, my God. Man, son. God is awesome. These things were done by John in Bethabara, I don't know how to even say it, beyond the Jordan. Give me the next one, verse 29, where John was baptizing. Give me 29. Anybody got a King James Bible? Open up to the back of your Bibles and go to the... The next day, where's he baptizing? The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. Bethabara. Now watch this. I just went to my Bible. And I needed to find out where Bethabara was. Bro, look at this right here. This is just absolutely floor you. You see Bethabara right there? You see Jericho? Watch this. That's where the children of Israel crossed. Watch this. You see, here is, upon crossing the Jordan, Joshua, see it, Gilgal, the same place. You hear, look at the back of your book for Bethabara. The same place where John is baptizing, in the Jordan, Jesus comes walking up to him. Jesus stands on the altar that was prepared for him 1,500 years before. And John the Baptist baptizes Jesus while he's on an altar. I was like, oh, son. And I'm like, and my mind is like screaming now. I'm like, Lord, why did the rivers back up all the way to the city of Adam? And God spoke to me just as plain as could be. He said, because what Jesus did right there was going to cover the sins all the way back to Adam. Woo, son. If that don't get all over you, nothing will. I'm like, Lord. I'm like, Lord. I see in Moses and Joshua at the Jordan. And you imparted. In the same place they received the Spirit came down and he received it like a dove. Exact same place. God is awesome. Only God could do something like this. No other book. Because it ain't no book. It's living. It's alive in us. It's the Word. It's powerful, son. I'll grab some of that love and just wrap it all over Satan. I'll kill him. No, I'll love him to death. I'll do something with him, son. Man, he has no power in love. Love defeats him. I said, where are you at? Now, I know a voice out of heaven says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. I said, no. Where are you at? Because Moses was there, and Joshua was there, Elijah was there, and Elisha was there. Jesus is there. Where are you? All of a sudden, I heard John baptized him. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came to John and said, are you the Elijah to come? Remember, Elijah is symbolic to God. He said, no, I'm not Elijah. See, we don't even know who we are in God. But Jesus, after they killed him, said, if you can forbear it, John was the Elijah to come. Therefore, John represented God who baptized his own son on an altar. Listen to this. Son, it gets a little bit better than that. Watch. I'll show you man. There's only three men in the Bible who fasted 40 days? Moses, Elijah, Jesus. I'm going to tie them in for you. Moses was on Sinai when he received the law. Elijah, who was also symbolic to God, after he kills the 450 prophets of Baal, fasts 40 days and God takes him to a cave on Mount Sinai. The same place God speaks to Moses is where he speaks to Elijah. Jesus is baptized and goes into the wilderness for 40 days. He went to the same cave, son. Ay, ay, ay. Listen to this. To show you that Moses and Elijah is a picture of God and Jesus is God. Simple question. Who are the two that appeared to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah. Listen to this now. I'm going to take it. I'm going to pull you off of the law right now by what God says. Change your thinking. Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, and he is transfigured after 6 days, which is symbolic to 6,000 years. And I'm not even going to go there with you yet. But it says that, and a cloud came down on top of Jesus. And Peter said, looking through his own eyes, he said, "Oh, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us build a temple, a tabernacle, from one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you." Moses and Elijah's there. And all of a sudden, God says, he don't talk about Moses and he don't talk about Elijah. God says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Did he say, "Hear Elijah and Moses"?
No.
Hear him. And when Peter opened his eyes, all they saw was the tree of life, was love. Listen. You know where you're at. I could give you knowledge, but I want to give you understanding. And Jesus is that understanding. Lose all for the sake of him. Love your brothers. Love your sisters. Love you pastors. Love you presidents and everybody else that God puts here, because he's going to do the separating in the end. Don't be a goat. Be a sheep. So Father, I just lift up the people that are here today. Lord, we know who we are, and I stand up because I'm the first one who's been eating off of the wrong tree. If you want to stand and say you've been eating off the tree, stand. I don't even want to look at you. I just want to offer you up to the Lord and say, "Father, get us off of this tree, Lord. And Father, get us on this tree over here, Lord. We want Jesus, Lord. We want love, Father." I just ask, oh God, that you would just begin to move, Lord, and just work in us, oh Lord. When people despitefully use us or do things that are not right, Father, your word says, oh God, that we're to just love them, Lord. Pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. And those things are coming. When we are truly, Lord, walking in love, Father, that's coming. That persecution, that people not understanding us and all these things are going to come. And let us get off of where Satan's been holding his power. But Lord, with knowledge, give us understanding. And let us see with the eyes of our heart, Jesus, your son. Because Father, he is all. And Lord, when we get him, Jesus, the tree of life, he takes us to you. You are all knowledge. You are all wisdom. You are all glory and all power. And cause us right now, as each and every one of us is a tree, to tear out Satan who's been hanging around in our trees, our bushes, Lord. Beat him out with a stick. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord, because you're the one I look to. Not numbers. I just want to love people now. You have totally changed my life, and I thank you for it, Lord. Change the people as we all stand up as one, Father. Make us your true church, O God. Because only you can do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen.